Guest today is Lisa Loving. Lisa is a journalist, writer, and media educator. She was a longtime news reporter with the Scanner News Group out of Portland and Seattle and with KBOO Radio. Lisa is the author of the book Street Journalists, Understand and Report the News in Your Community, and she's presented on the book and her workshop on editorial and op-ed writing, How to Write Your Rant, at bookstores, universities, and community centers across the country. Thanks for joining me today, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me.
First off, it seems like, you know, street journalists have played a really important role in covering the protests in Portland, and I know that you've worked actually with some of those street journalists who are covering the protests. So can you talk a little bit about why you feel so strongly about teaching everyday people about how to cover the news?
Desiree, one thing that a lot of people don't realize right now is that over the past 20 years, our major media platforms have basically collapsed. And it's been a slow motion train crash, definitely. And there's a lot of statistics about how many fewer reporters we have on the ground now compared to 10 years ago. Media outlets, large and small, have been hit by this. And there's all kinds of reasons and analysis about how and why that has happened, starting with, you know, the internet, Facebook stealing the thunder away from newspapers, just to take one super duper specific example. And I'm going to probably end up talking about Facebook a lot because it's been a real wrecking ball to societies and communities all around the world. And they're beginning to be held accountable, but we'll see what happens with that. When you realize how many fewer reporters there are, even just to take one example, the Oregonian, our major legacy media outlet is the Oregonian, which is like more than 150-year-old newspaper, but it has not been a daily in quite a few years. They stopped distributing daily newspapers to Eastern Oregon actually a long time ago. The same thing's happening with radio stations and television stations. I've seen what's happened more recently with the COVID pandemic. The pandemic actually wiped out a major source of advertising revenue for all kinds of media, like, you know, entertainment venues, bars, has had an unbelievable impact. Now there's even fewer paid reporters that are backed by an institution on the ground here in our town, Portland. And then all of a sudden, Portland becomes ground zero for the President of the United States re-election campaign. President Donald Trump, election's just a few months away. He's having worse. He actually had really bad poll numbers. And then all of a sudden, these protests in Portland, these protests around the country around Black Lives Matter, and police accountability, both. Protests have been happening actually all over the country. I want to say Louisville, Kentucky has also had nightly protests, but you don't see as much news about Louisville and these other places as you do Portland.
Portland's had a pretty contentious relationship in some ways with elements of the federal government for quite a long time, giving us the name Little Beirut, and the fight, I think, over the Joint Terrorism Task Force has put us in the crosshairs of the FBI.
And I think that that's part of the reason why the president focused on Portland also, because it is so small. He could just stub us out like an old cigarette for real. But Portland's tradition of civil unrest and protest of all kinds, Portland does have a long history of that, longer than a lot of other places, actually, considering what a young city we are, too. Anyway, even as for once, you know, what has been known for years as the whitest city in America finally had a huge movement in support of African and African-American people, with probably at a moment in our history when there are fewer journalists available to cover that, fewer than there have been since the beginning of the city. I want to pivot back to who the journalists are themselves on the street. Like for myself, I've been working to mentor and train emerging journalists, teenagers, retirees, people of all kinds from all over the world for years. And it always has struck me how a lot of people believe that a journalist has to have like a college degree and there has to be some kind of special badge or something that gives someone the right to collect information that, and then share it with the public. And so now with the Black Lives Matter movement, we have seen in Portland and nationally as well, like a whole generation of people who just literally took their phones out into the streets and started recording what was going on between police and protesters. A lot of people start out just by live streaming because it's the simplest thing you can do. There's issues there. it's not really safe for the people around you if you record their faces, because the police and, as you were mentioning, the federal government monitor that too. One of the traditions in Portland is that law enforcement goes and arrests people days after the fact based on recordings. So who is in downtown Portland right now reporting on these issues? Like, what I've seen is one of these interesting people is a preschool teacher. I've seen her video on MSNBC. I can't remember her name. And so we've seen some people putting their work out there, having their work picked up by national outlets, and then their name becomes known. There's a lot of complications with that that I don't want to get into too much, because someone could write a whole book about that. So the way I see the people in the street right now is, you know, and the Portland police's view is that they can't tell who a journalist is and from everyday people. So they're not going to give anyone the right not to be shot, all of the projectiles that they've shot. I mean, I think there's a fundamental legal decision there that's probably going to be argued in court for many, many, many years to come. But the long and the short of it is everyone's got the right to be a journalist. And there's got to be a way that we can get information about what's going on around us, even if the Oregonian only has three reporters. More than 100 nights of protest, consecutive nights. The Oregonian was cycling all their journalists through that night shift. And I mean, I even remember when they had their food reporter actually went out to cover the protests for a night.
The more that journalists were embattled and assaulted, the more important it became for other folks to be out there live streaming and making that violence visible.
It's totally shocking. I mean, I've never seen police in the United States just beat reporters before. So the other class that I've been working on and presenting is in combination with KBOO Community Radio with my incredible colleague, Jenka Soderberg there. And it's a class on protest reporting. We've offered it, I believe, two or three times now. More than 100 people have gone through this class. We've had people enroll in it from all over the country. I have a new publisher. I've got a new book coming out, Vinyl Publishing in New York. And my publisher there has asked me to write a follow-up book, a sequel to Street Journalist. And they're really interested in a book about watchdog reporting. You know, Street Journalist is basically an invitation for people to go out in the street and gather information and share it. But watchdog reporting as a book, the idea of that is to give people more ideas and more tools to focus on the parts of the municipality, the society that they're seeing that is not getting covered. Oh my God, Desiree, there are so many stories that are not being covered right now. It makes my head spin.
So Lisa, can you tell us a little bit about how people can get in touch with you and how they can find out about workshops that are going on, how they can plug into your work?
I've got a website. It's called streetjournalist.com. And you can contact me through there mostly. And I hate to say this, a lot of my stuff is on Facebook, which is a vortex of disinformation and platform that we should all be massively challenging right now. So on Facebook, I'm Media for the People, the number four, Media for the People. And Lisa Loving, LisaLoving. I'm also on Twitter. I'm at Lisa Loving on Twitter. I'm on Instagram too, L Loving. But if you just shout me out on social media, we can absolutely touch base. But my favorite thing is when people have a big idea, and because we need innovation, and it's not going to come out of an existing newsroom. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for joining me today. My guest today has been Lisa Loving, who's a journalist, writer, and media educator. Lisa, thanks so much.
Thanks again for having me.
This has been Desiree Helgers for the Omal Variety Hour.